Good morning, Your Honor. Your Honor, last week the government filed a letter with the court raising the mootness, question of mootness.
Why isn't this case moot?
Excuse me?
Why is this case not moot?
Your Honor, I think it is moot, but I think the exception for...
Let's quit then. What are we doing?
Well, I think we've got the capable of repetition yet evading review standard applies here. And in the Robinson case, which the government cited, the court specifically said in a footnote that it wasn't reaching the question of whether the exception would apply in these circumstances. And I think the exception does apply in these circumstances. And if you go back and look at the Christian Knights case, which is the seems to be the leading case on the meaning of the capable of repetition yet evading review case or theory, the court said that you break that down into the evading review requirement, and I think this case clearly fits that because it's it will be evading review because of the way
it will be. But what's the reason for us to believe that there's going to be a threat of a similar deprivation of rights by the same defendant against the same plaintiff?
Well, as the court said in that case, counsel can represent to the court that Mr. Armstrong intends to apply for a license. Today, actually, ironically, is the one-year anniversary of the revocation, and he is going to start the process over again and attempt to get relicensed.
What was the date of the emergency decision, that it was an emergency?
The emergency decision was dated October 10, 2006. He received it October 12, 2006. The last event, going to the merits of the case, the last event which resulted in the decision was in April of 06. It is some 6 months earlier.
But the ruling that is arguably moot and put here under review is the 10-10-06 ruling, correct?
No, the ruling, what makes it, the government's argument as to why it's moot is that the NTSB...
The
emergency determination.
10-10-06.
Yes, the 10-10-06 emergency determination.
So that is also a year old.
Yes. And the case dragged on through no fault of Mr. Armstrong's.
Did you seek expedition in this court?
I filed a petition for review shortly after, I don't remember exactly the date now, after the decision, after we received the decision.
Right, but did you make a motion for expedited treatment in this court?
When I filed the petition?
Well, or thereafter.
I don't remember if I don't believe I made a request for expedited consideration. I'd have to go look back at the record as to whether we did that or not. But the case at that point was still pending before the NTSB. We filed that in January of this year, and the hearing, actually we hadn't even had the finished the NTSB hearing at that point. As the court will remember from the record, we were supposed to have the NTSB hearing or before the administrative law judge on December 14th and 15th. And on the close of the case or the close of the day on the 14th, the administrative law judge, on his own motion, to the surprise of both parties, continued the case till the end of January. We filed the petition in this court in early January, weeks before the case was even
continued. And what relief were you seeking in this court?
The relief we were seeking in this court was to lift the emergency order.
And that's over, right?
And the NTSB has decided the case.
Why is this not a moot case? Why is there still a case?
Well, because as I was saying earlier.
What are you asking for that we could do today?
I'm asking the court to decide the legal issue that's presented here.
We don't decide abstract legal issues.
No, but there is.
What are you asking the court to do today?
I'm asking.
Forget decide. Tell me what we're supposed to be doing.
To order.
What relief should we order?
Your Honor, that's why the capable of repetition yet evading review argument comes up. I mean, you can't in any case where that arises. The only
what are we supposed to enjoin them from?
You're supposed to enjoin them from requiring any pilot to have to go just to the board to seek relief from an emergency order. The FAA's position.
Their position is there were two routes that could be followed.
Their position is there's one route that can be filed, that you can only go through the board to seek relief from an emergency order, and it's our position that that Congress has set up two routes.
How often have they done that to your client?
He's only been, had his license revoked one time.
You understand that the capable repetition evading review is an exceptional doctrine. That's an exception.
Yes.
To the normal rule.
Yes, sir.
What is it that takes you out of the norm? Why isn't this just a moot case?
I think what takes us out of the norm, Your Honor, is the fact that the standard is that there has to be a reasonable expectation that the same complaining party would be subject to this again.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you for. Why should we assume that something's happened to him once ever is going to happen to him again?
Well, I think you can assume that in his case, because now that the FAA has targeted him once or gone after him once, it's far more likely that they're going to keep a much closer eye on him.
Why should we assume that?
I think
what's the record upon which we should find that the FAA has a history of targeting people after they've had one violation?
There's nothing in the record concerning that.
So you're going to have the exception completely eat the mootness up. Just because something could happen again, we should hold that it therefore is not moot.
Well, I think that's what the exception says, that it's a reasonable expectation that it could happen again, and the court went on to say
that it will happen again, not could.
It's a reasonable expectation will happen again to the plaintiff.
Yes.
And the chokehold case, the LAPD case, the court said there's just no record to suggest that that's the case, that this fellow is going to get wrong side of the police again and be subject to a chokehold.
Well, I think the court, based on common experience with administrative agencies, that once a person has been subjected to the agency, they're obviously going to keep a closer eye on him.
What I'm suggesting is that you are saying that the capable of repetition doctrine is going to eat mootness in administrative law. If we follow your assumptions, we'll never again moot an administrative law case.
Well, the exception is there. I mean, it's been established.
Yeah, it's an exception. But you're going to make it the rule under what you're arguing.
I don't think so. I think in this case, when somebody's licensed, I think you have a little bit different situation where a person is licensed, he's subject to monitoring by the FAA. I think in that case, you have a little bit different situation.
I asked you about administrative law specifically. Most of the people we get up here are monitored, counsel. Administrative law is regulatory law. So I'm suggesting that under your argument, there is no more mootness doctrine in administrative law.
Well, I think that's why capable of repetition is there, because there are certain circumstances where the courts need to decide these issues. And in this case, given the FAA's position that this court can never review emergency decisions, and given the fact of the way the pace of the system works, this court will never be able to decide that issue,
well,
and that's why.
As to whether this person, though, this plaintiff, is likely to face the situation again, what you've given us is this targeting theory or the higher level of monitoring in the future. That's assuming he gets relicensed, right?
Correct.
Has that happened?
It is not. Today is that he has a 1 year. He can't reapply for 1 year,
so
and today is the 1 year. My understanding is that it can be done relatively quickly. He just has to take some flights with a flight instructor.
How old is your client?
He is in his mid-60s, I believe, but he's in excellent health and fully intends to get his license back. So that's why I believe that there is this possibility, strong possibility, that this could well happen to him again. And I think under the case law, this exception applies.
How old did you say he is?
Excuse me?
How old did you say?
I believe he's in his mid to late 60s.
I thought he was in his 70s.
Maybe he's 70. I don't remember.
I think
exactly.
He was 76 when his action began, wasn't he?
So I missed, if that's correct, mid 70s then. But
okay.
He's 76.
He is in excellent health. And fully expects to be relicensed, because having a license was a significant part of his business activities. Your Honor, I see my time is just about up. I'd like to reserve at least a minute or so on rebuttal if I could.
We'll give you a minute. Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't think we need to hear him.
May it please the court, there are three independent reasons why the FAA should prevail in this case. First, as we've noted, this appeal is moot because of the recent NTSB decision. Second, there is no jurisdiction because Mr. Armstrong failed to exhaust his administrative remedies. And third, even by his own interpretation of the statute, there is no jurisdiction because Mr. Armstrong failed to file a timely petition for review. Turning to mootness, as noted in my 28...
Is that with us or with the FAA?
Before this court. Turning to mootness, though, as noted in my 28J filing, the NTSB has upheld the revocation of Mr. Armstrong's certificate.
I've got one question for you about that. Why didn't you move to dismiss for mootness? I mean, we appreciated the 28J letter, but couldn't you have filed a motion along with it that said we moved to dismiss for mootness?
Well, you know, the opinion came down on September 27, 2007. Mm-hmm. I did not know if that would be enough time for us to file a motion to dismiss and have him answer it before the oral argument. But the FAA's decision, well, first turning to what Mr. Armstrong's attorney has raised, this capable of repetition yet evading review, I want to point your attention to the Eighth Circuit's Excalibur case, which he did not address, but was included in the 28J filing. In that case, they deal with this issue of capable of repetition yet evading review. The facts of that case are very similar to the facts of this one. The airman had appealed the immediate effect of the emergency order of revocation to the Eighth Circuit, while also simultaneously appealing the underlying revocation to the NTSB. What's even more interesting about that case was that was under the expedited procedures. So that was a much quicker period of time. And the Eighth Circuit still found that this was not a case that was capable of repetition. And
was under the expedited procedure of the agency?
Of the agency. What makes his appeal moot is the final decision of the NTSB.
Right.
And in that case, he didn't waive. In this case, Mr. Armstrong actually has waived the expedited appeal process. You can see that in Joint Appendix. There's a letter dated October 16th, and the page number for that is page 17 is where he waived the expedited process in this case. But in the Excalibur case, the expedited process was not waived, and the court still found that the 60 days, which is when the NTSB has to issue its final decision in that case by, was still enough time to make this decision that was not capable of repetition yet evading review. One of the facts that they noted in that case that was determinative was the fact that he failed to file for a month before the Eighth Circuit seeking to challenge the immediate effectiveness of the emergency order of revocation. Well, in this case, not only did he waive the expedited procedures, but he failed to file that appeal in this court for 79 days. So he had 79, so that is another factor that is determinative. Turning to the jurisdictional exhaustion, Section 46110D required Mr. Armstrong to raise his objection to the immediate effectiveness of the order of revocation before the board. Section 44709E3 provided a means in which Mr. Armstrong could have appealed the immediate effectiveness of the emergency order of revocation to the NTSB. Because Mr. Armstrong failed to raise this appeal before the board, this court lacks jurisdiction.
You don't need to use all your time.
You're right. That's
I will take my seat now.
You've covered what's in your brief.
Your Honor, unless there are any further questions, I'll submit the rest of my argument on the briefs.
I don't see any.
Thank you,
Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Connolly, thank you. The case is submitted.